I have a little timer. I don't know how to get it started or whatever, just to kind of make sure I'm doing okay. So here today, my name is David Fabricius. I work at the at Corp back in Redmond, and we'll talk about messaging collaboration. Basically a combo of SBS, 2011 Essentials, and then Office 365. So how many folks are already familiar with SBS Essentials? That use it. Okay, so a lot of new information. That's fabulous. How many people are more familiar with maybe SBS Standard, SBS 2011 Standard? So everybody. So I'll point out as we go along and talk a lot about the differences between the two. And then how many folks use Office 365 or are familiar with Office 365? So a couple. So that's great. So we have a lot of new information that we can cover today. So we have a fairly small group, so we can make this extremely interactive. We have 75 minutes, and I probably can give this session for a couple of days, or I can keep it down to about an hour. So we have lots of time for Q&A, so I encourage you to just shout out or whatever. So just to kind of get started and set some context, and I know this will probably be familiar, at least in concept, to most of you, which is great, but basically, kind of when you're trying to describe SBS or just think about SBS, kind of what is it? Underneath all of it, it's always been Windows Server, right? So we are Windows Server, and we have all of the roles and features that Windows Server does, or most of them. There's a couple of limits. But things like Active Directory, file print, networking, all of that stuff, all of the same application platform type stuff, is the kind of foundation, if you will, of what SBS is. And then SBS specifically takes that and turns on and configures some of those roles and features. And the idea is, if you just buy Windows Server Standard and you install it, you kind of get a blinking green light. It is the beginning of whatever it is you want to do with it. But with SBS, we know that this is going into a small business environment, and so you can make some assumptions and install and configure the roles and services that make sense and set them up according to best practices for that small business environment. So as an example, we know you will need Active Directory. So we'll go ahead and install that and configure that. We'll ask just a couple of high-level business questions like, what's your company name? And go from there. So that's the first level of kind of the value prop. And then the final layer is the unique capabilities that SBS then brings to the table. So things like the kind of consolidated administration experience, which is the admin console in SBS Standard, called the dashboard in SBS Essentials. In Essentials, introduced PC backup, so a very popular feature in terms of, you know, being able to fully protect all of the PCs in the environment, keep that data centrally located on the server, so you could then back up the server as a way to get everything in the environment, and then to be able to do that full, like a bare metal restore of the client. So obviously being able to get back files and folders, but even if like the whole hard drive crashed or something like this, you can restore that whole PC from its backup. And then making health monitoring easier, making the remote access easier. So remote web access in the older SBS, it was remote web workplace, RWW, became RWA because we can't leave a good name alone. And that ability to get at your shared folders, to be able to connect to your PCs in the environment and things like that. All of that stuff then is the final layer of what makes SBS what it is. So again, just build Windows Server, turn on some of the Windows Server features, and then put the unique capabilities on top. And so one of the things, of course, that we'll talk specifically about today is the Office 365 integration. So kind of given that as a level set, and then when we look at Essentials, and this is, I don't know to spend too much time on this, we'll try to keep this a little bit more on the technical side than the sales and marketing side, but Essentials being really that first server offering, specifically targeted at entities that have up to 25 users, so a little bit different than Standard, which has a licensing limit of up to 75 users. Essentials is really targeted at that smaller business and really focused on the flexibility and the choice of being able to run some of your applications and services in the cloud. So having a very cloud friendly platform that you can work with. So not just having everything run on-premise, not just having everything run in the cloud, but being able to use the essential server as a way to kind of have that hybrid environment and then let the customers choose which applications they want to use the Windows Server platform to run and which they want to just rent the capability from a cloud-based type offering. So again, Office 365 as an example of that for the messaging. So that's another key difference between SBS Standard and SBS Essentials, is that with SBS Standard, Exchange Server is integrated as a component product. So you always buy Exchange Server when you buy SBS Standard, whether you want the cloud feature or not. With SBS Essentials, then you have the choice. You can use something like Office 365 for mail, or you could put Exchange Server side by side with Essentials on a second server to keep everything on-premise. So that's kind of one of the key differences, and maybe one of the biggest key differences between SBS Standard and SBS Essentials. But the rest is very much the same, helping to protect your data, centralize the information and the environment onto that server, organize, define the access. Basically, you know, when we look at who buys the server at all, it's small businesses who may potentially have only used client PCs up to now, and their decision is, should I buy another client PC and kind of use that as a file server, or should I buy a real server, and what does that give me? And so Essentials, we think, is a really good first server to get into because it gives you the remote web access, the remote capabilities. It gives you the idea to better protect and to centrally protect your data. It gives you the ability to secure and to control access to sensitive information and all of these things that a server can do that the client PC doesn't really do. So that's a bit of a level set just on the value of that first server. So when we look at the user experience, and again, focusing on the Essentials piece, so again, we have the dashboard. This is that unified administration experience, very similar to the admin console of SBS Standard, that one-stop shopping place for the administrator to do their thing. Very much task-oriented. We want something that's easy, not just for the customer, but even for the partner to do, have a consistent experience. But it also kind of abstracts a fair amount of stuff so that very simple day-to-day tasks could be done by the customer if they feel comfortable with that, or it just makes it easier, again, to kind of bubble up and see the whole health of the environment and everything that you kind of need to do. On the client side, then we have the Launchpad, which for the end user is just an easy place to go as a jumping off point for everything that they might want to do. So again, you can start a manual backup. They happen automatically. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but you could kick it off or look at history. You can, if you've got your laptop, you're on the road, the Launchpad is a very easy place to kick off the remote access. And of course, getting access to the shared folders or just finding them quickly. There's many ways that you can interact with the server. The Launchpad is just one kind of quick and easy way. And then a quick look at the remote web access and what that looks like in the environment. And this is really a picture of Standard, but we'll take a picture. We'll take a look at what RWA looks like with Essentials right now. So again, basically the idea is, if you're going to any of the other sessions here at TechEd, one of the key pillars that you're hearing, that you may be hearing, and I congratulate you if you haven't gone through the whole pillar thing for Windows Server 2012, since we do that over and over. But one of the key things is this modern work style enabled. So we know that people like their smartphones, like their tablets. They want to be able to work when and where they want to. And being able to connect remotely via the internet to get at their information is a key aspect to this kind of modern work style. So through RWA, then, you have the ability to connect to computers. So this is something that, you know, we've been able to do with SBS Standard for quite a while. We can continue to do this, obviously, in the ongoing products. So being able to make a secure connection through the internet, and this is basically an RDP connection, right? So the end user can maybe jump to a computer in the office that runs a specific application, maybe a finance application or a line of business application, what have you, and use it from anywhere as if they were sitting in front of it. Also, of course, the shared folders. You can customize RWA with links, if there are links, particular internet sites or anything that are helpful either internally or externally for the people in the company, then the RWA can be tailored to include those. One of the great things about Essentials is the extensibility, so we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but this is one place where the product can be extended. So not only can you, and you kind of see these are very kind of web party looking, so there's a web part for the computers you can access, for server folders, for the links, and there are other parts could be added, so this can be extended with functionality, whether it's security, whether it's a line of business application, or whatever it is, to add additional value beyond just the base product. So very highly customizable, both internally as far as how the look and the feel. You can put your logo on it, you can change the home page background, things like that, as well as extensible by third parties. So health monitoring and alerting, this is just the idea of trying to surface what's happening in the environment and making it very quick and easy to see in the dashboard. So I might even have a laser pointer. So there's even kind of right behind this dialogue, there's some little icons that show you the health. So simple, you know, red, green, yellow kind of thing. And then when there are alerts, you pick up an alert, you can kind of see not only what that something is wrong and what computer it actually applies to, but it gives you some information about some steps that you can use to resolve it. So some guidance, some actual prescriptive guidance on what to do next. And depending on the type of alert that you have, you may have a link to actually take a specific action. So maybe on an end user's desktop, the firewall has been turned off. So that will generate an alert, and there may be a link to go ahead and turn the firewall back on or turn updates back on or something like this that can help you out. So again, this is just a way to see problems and react to problems and know how to react to problems before the users in the environment become impacted. Server backup, again, just centralizing the data protection of the environment. So I don't think a lot of new news here. Obviously, we can restore individual files and folders as well as the full server. And certain OEMs will offer a headless device, and they'll offer an ability to get back to kind of how it came right from the factory kind of thing. But even more exciting than that is really the client backup piece. So this is the new piece in Essentials that Essentials 2011 brought to the table. And the idea to back up all the computers can be done on a nightly basis. You could change the retention policies, so how many you keep and how long you keep them. But the idea being that you can fully restore, just boot the client from a client CD, client recovery CD that comes with the product, and it will go find the essential server. You can pick which computer you're backing up and then what day you want to restore from, or which computer you're trying to restore, and which date, and then load it back completely. So in a small business environment, I think this is really helpful, especially because in a lot of cases, it's kind of a hodgepodge of different types of computers. There's no real standardization at this scale. So being able to restore the data is nice, but any of the applications that were put on the machine, any of the configuration, user settings, you know, throughout the whole PC, it's much easier to be able to restore the whole thing and get going again than to reinstall the operating system, put the files back on, and then kind of reinstall and reconfigure all the apps. So a very cool, very popular feature. There's even support for Mac clients. So in terms of the health, in terms of being able to back it up centrally to the server, there's support for joining the Macs into the SBS environment. So that is probably not the largest feature that's used, but where it is, it's nice to have that inclusion. So see heterogeneous operating system support even at the small business level. So we've got that hot button covered. So I talked a little bit about the extensibility aspects of the server. So you see on the add-ins tab where that gets exposed. So you can have various different kinds of add-ins. So Office 365 integration module is an example. But we have other partners, Trend Micro, different security folks, have add-ins that then take the base functionality of Essentials and can extend that in various directions, and then lets you manage those things through that same dashboard, through that same administration console. So, so that is just a nice way to have an even more sophisticated environment. Again, as you look at leveraging into the future more and more cloud applications and cloud services, then to be able to see those and manage those through the dashboard makes it easy to add in whatever type of functionality the customer needs. So that was kind of a quickie run through. If you have any questions or want any more depth, we can definitely just go into any of those. But I did want to go through a couple of examples of different things that work together with Essentials. And as an example of some of the add-ins that we have. So Windows 7 is a good example, and the Windows 7 Pro Pack, which you can use, this basically allows, through group policy, to set up some of the security settings for the client to make sure that everybody in the environment has the proper settings and that the features are turned on and stay turned on to make the endpoints as secure as possible. So, in the case where maybe the employee goes home and say their 13-year-old son wants to play some kind of online video game and they're getting problems getting connected because of whatever, the firewall is blocking them, so they just turn off the firewall, play their game, and of course, you don't know, kind of thing. And then when you come back into the environment, the SBS server will be able to detect that the firewall is turned off. The policy says the firewall needs to be turned back on, so it will do that, and then you can kind of avoid problems that could result from not being secured. So that's the ProPack. It's a great also kind of way, when you're talking to customers, I think one of the things that happens in the small business level is there is a often they'll go to like a Walmart or the equivalent in Europe and buy a PC, and it comes with the home edition of Windows. And then you don't get all of the capabilities that you get with the pro version when you use it in a business environment. So in addition to just being able to join into the domain and be able to manage the computer, then to the pro pack kind of adds on top of that same value with the tighter security and the better protection of that endpoint. So as you're kind of talking to folks, it's a great way to talk about the additional security and benefits that the pro SKUs bring over the home SKUs in that business environment. So another aspect is the Windows 7 phone application. So here you can see you can view the alerts in a similar way. It's a kind of a light administration experience, but then also you can use this to view and access the files that are stored on the server. And I don't necessarily want to read all the little bullet points to you, but this is a great way, again, to have the kind of the on-the-go, as we talked about, the modern work style. So not just for the end users, but even for administration of the server, you want to be able to not wait until somebody is complaining about something and calling you, but to be able to kind of from anywhere see the status of the server, make sure it's healthy, and be able to see the alerts and potentially even respond to the alerts. From here, you could jump off. If needed, you could use remote web access to get connected to the server and do whatever fix is appropriate in order to keep the environment healthy. So I'm sure all of us have smartphones, so we wanted to make sure that the experience of administering and using the server extends to that phone endpoint. Okay, so at that point, kind of refocusing in on Office 365. And so when we look at why Office 365, then just kind of backing up a little bit and looking at the needs of these small business customers and what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. So like most of us, they've got a ton of work to do every day and want to kind of keep that as contained as possible into a normal 8-hour working day so that they have real lives and things like that. They really, when you talk to small businesses, it's all about the productivity that they can have. They want to protect their data. That's probably number one. They also want to be more productive. They want to save costs, and they want to enhance the business value. They want to, you know, if they invest in some kind of IT spending, whatever it is, they want to be able to get some value out of that and be able to see that happen. And they want it to work. They don't want to have to keep messing with it or keep calling somebody for support, whether that's you or an ISV type vendor or whoever it is. They want a service that is reliable, that somebody can take care of for them. So Windows Essentials combined with Office 365 really helps to get the best of both worlds in terms of being able to have that server that helps you protect your data on-premise and gives a lot of functionality then that runs in the cloud. So this is kind of more of a marketing level. So I'll go through this kind of quickly, but the idea that built together or combined together, you get several different aspects covered to meet those business challenges. So being able to safeguard the work of the customer, being able to be more productive and get more done, to be able to more easily collaborate using these tools that Office 365 provides, as well as the centralized nature of data stored on that server, and having a flexible environment that they can combine the two together and reduce the overhead of maintaining this solution. So as we look kind of, you know, I know a lot of you said that you were familiar with SBS Standard. And so SBS Standard and Exchange Server running on-premise, it obviously has worked great. And there's a lot of people who like that on-premise scenario. And that's definitely something that we want to support on-premise messaging going forward. But there's a certain amount of overhead and maintenance that happens to the Exchange Server. You have to keep it healthy. You have to fix it when it breaks, things like that. So being able to move some of the workloads into the cloud and have the high end or the back end maintenance be taken care of adds quite a bit of flexibility into what the small business can decide to consume or not consume in terms of IT infrastructure. One question that I get fairly often, so this is quite a bit of an eye chart, but hopefully it highlights kind of the concept. People want to know, should I run my stuff on-premise or should I just run everything in the cloud? What's the right, you know, kind of way to go on that? And what I like to kind of point out is that SBS Essentials and Office 365 do some different things, and they're extremely complementary in what they allow you to do, so that together they really kind of do the whole scenario. So things that work better on-premise are things like data storage. It's kind of expensive. The more and more stuff you put into the cloud, you have to keep paying for that. But it's pretty cheap to expand storage capacity locally on a server. Also, we kind of mentioned the idea of being able to fully back up both your server and your PC, being able to do full bare metal restores of the server and all the PCs in the environment. Very hard to do if that kind of stuff is in the cloud. But at the same time, with Office 365, then you can do things like the chat and the online presence with Link. So very few small businesses today implement like a communication server infrastructure. It's just expensive. It's complicated to run. But it's just a piece that you get for free or as a component product, let's say, of the Office 365 environment. The idea of having web hosting integrated, having the online exchange so that the whole exchange infrastructure is managed and maintained and updated and patched by somebody else, and you're just consuming mailboxes as you need it. So really, the two combined is a really nice end-to-end solution. So when you think about customers, it tends to go both ways. So if you've got somebody who is interested in online messaging, who's interested in Office 365, then you can then have the conversation, the follow-up conversation that says, well, if you introduced Essentials instead of using another PC as kind of your sort of PC as a file server, then you get all these other things that complement that Office 365 offering. And conversely, if you start with the idea that the first server, they kind of buy into the idea that the first server is beneficial to them, then you can kind of complete the picture with the cloud-based messaging and the cloud-based offerings of Office 365 to do the messaging pieces that Essentials doesn't do by itself. So I see these as very complementary offerings. So let's then dive in a little bit more specifically to the Office 365 integration module, what it does and what it allows you to do. And before I kind of go into this, I think when I was kind of asking earlier on as far as who's familiar with Office 365, so Office 365 is Exchange Server Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online. I think we're probably fairly familiar with what those technologies are. But are there any questions as far as what Office 365 is?
Yeah. In an Exchange Server, you can run multiple email domains, right? Is it possible in Office 365 as well?
So the question is around having multiple internet domains for email. And in like SPS standard, you could have multiple email domains configured in the Exchange Server. And Office 365 will also let you have multiple internet domains. So one of them will be primary, and that will show up in the dashboard and things like that. But you could have more than one email domain. So when you look at the integration module and what this does, it really makes it easy to combine the two together and give you, again, that kind of integrated management experience of being able to see right in the dashboard what's going on with your Office 365 subscriptions. So you still have the same kind of links out to the, Office 365 website for things like billing and managing the subscription term and things like that. But you can see inside the dashboard, and we'll have a bigger picture here in a second, of how many licenses you have, when is your subscription due to expire, what is your primary internet domain, things like that, as well as some tasks that let you fully configure the experience. It lets you synchronize passwords. We'll take a quick look at how this works. And it really makes it easy to manage kind of that DNS. So like for the email flow and the remote web access flow, to make that user experience very consistent and seamless across the two offerings, whether they're accessing resources that are local to the essential server or whether they're accessing resources that are in the cloud through Office 365. So there's like five major areas of functionality that the integration module provides, from being able to very simply configure the Office 365 service to having a unified identity, so the user only has to have one username and password that they use, again, to access resources no matter where they live, and use the same password, being able to have that same business persona, if you will. So your website, www, company name, your username at companyname.com or whatever it's going to be, and having the remote web access have that same, remote.companyname.com or whatever top-level domain your country is appropriate for. And then again, providing that at a glance view of the subscription details. So we'll look at some of these different things. And I'll do a demo too, so you don't have to just look at slides, but yeah. In the new version of Intune? So we don't have an integration module for Intune at this point. This is just with Office 365. But that's a great question and a great kind of future direction. So when you come in to get going with Office 365, once you've installed the integration module, then you can go through a very quick configuration session or a wizard, and this will let you either get started with subscribing if you don't have a subscription, or starting a trial subscription if you just want to try it out, or if you've already got a subscription, then all you need to do is provide the credentials that you've set up for Office 365, and then it will be able to use those credentials to go ahead and manage the interaction between the essential server and the online service. Once the integration is set up and the configuration wizard is complete, then you can manage your local user accounts and associate them with mailboxes in the Office 365 environment. So you can manage that same user across the two different places, again, on-premise or in the cloud, through the same user management interface in the dashboard. So again, making it seamless, and it's a very similar type of experience that SBS Standard has when Exchange is running on-premise. For the password sync, really it's a very straightforward kind of idea, but what we want to avoid is the situation where a user has one password for the cloud and a different password for their local resources, or a different name that they have to use. So we make it very easy to capture password changes that the user makes to the local environment. So the way it works is that you would set your passwords for the essential server, for the Windows environment. So you hit Control-Alt-Delete, and you change your password. So you set your password to whatever. So the essential server will then detect that password change is happening, and it will go ahead and use the integration module and a connection, a secure HTTP connection, and use your Office 365 credentials to establish that secure connection, and then it will flow that same password change up to the user's account. So then going forward, the same credentials are used to access both the local resources as well as the cloud-based resources. So it's not necessarily a lot of magic, but it just keeps things in sync. It's a one-way sync. So if the user were to go to the Office 365 management portal or whatever and change their password there, then the essential server wouldn't know. But if they use their local computer to change their password, then it will flow up. So it's one way, just from the essentials environment to the cloud.
An example, if you're a Salesforce user and out in the wild for half a year or whatever,
yeah.
You want to change your password in the office.
Right, but given the situation where they're, so the question was around if I am not getting connected to the essentials environment and not changing my password there, but I do want to change it in the cloud because I'm very mobile and I want to, you know, change the Office 365 password. Is that right? Then does the password flow, you know, back the other way? And it doesn't. But if you're not accessing the essentials server environment, then the fact that the password is not in sync is probably less of a important because you're not getting back to the essentials environment. Does that make sense?
No, but if you go back after some time.
Yes, then they would be different.
Yeah.
So that is one place where conceivably then the user would need help from the administrator to get back in sync again. Yeah. That's correct. So if the say the passwords are out of sync. It's blue on the Office 365 and it's red on the Essentials, and then the user comes in and changes their password on their Essentials client to green or whatever, then it would flow up and both the Essentials and the Office 365 then would have the password green, as an example. Yeah. So the next piece is the idea of making it easy to configure and manage the internet domain name that gets used. So again, as I kind of mentioned earlier, RWA uses a URL. Your email address has your internet domain in it, and your website has your internet domain in it. And you want an easy way to keep them all in sync. And so, one of the features that the integration module provides is a way to go ahead and automatically set up those DNS records so that the appropriate host, so like remote, will point to your local server, your mail records will point to Office 365, your www address will point to your website in the cloud. So we'll take a look at this in the demo in a little bit more detail, but just the idea that you want to have, you know, sally@contoso.com, and she also goes to remote.contoso.com to get at her files and her documents and things. And then finally, just a bigger view of the at-a-glance view of the Office 365 subscription. So again, we can kind of see what company information was set up, what your domain is, what your primary domain is. It's a very sensitive little clicker here. How many licenses that you have, when your subscription, what plan you're on, a P plan or an E plan, and the date that that's going to expire, as well as giving you some links to go ahead and go to the Office 365 management portal for the tasks that you need to do there, like billing and stuff. Yeah.
Does this add in words in a Windows Server standard or just for small business?
So the question is, does this work with Essentials only or SPS standard as well?
Windows Server standards.
So this is only going to work with SPS Essentials, which has that extensibility model that it leverages to run. So we're we have some value added features over Windows Server standard. So let's go ahead and take a look at a demo and bring that up, and we can actually kind of walk through and take a look at what this looks like.
In between, regarding that question,
yep.
I realized that, or I recognized that there was an Office 365 enterprise agreement visibility, some special licenses, whatever. How do you manage these if there is no extensible end-to-end stuff for normal server environment? Is there no special module that you can make use of?
So if you have Windows Server standard and you want to use it together with Office 365, whether it's enterprise or standard or data center or whatever, is there any kind of this interface glue, if you will? And there isn't. So that's very interesting. So Essentials, and partly this is because the design point for Windows Server in general is more IT pro focused. And so they just make an assumption that you will work harder at your management, that you'll just apply this additional layer of expertise, I guess. Whereas Essentials comes from the standpoint of wanting to make it easier and wanting to make it more seamless. And so so we put a fair amount of engineering work into creating the module, the integration module. Yeah, so the password synchronization, there isn't a way to, if you just have regular Windows Server standard. So it's a great question because the Office 365 team asks me this question too. It's like, wow, how did you do that? Because I kind of actually really like that. And so they have separate tools, and I know there's tools to kind of synchronize in bulk ahead of time. If Rong were here, who is the PM for our feature area, he could tell you more details, and I can definitely follow up with you. But this level of integration is something that's unique to the SPS Essentials environment. So let's walk through kind of what this looks like. I'm going to have to hide behind the podium because I need to touch the keyboard here. But when SPS 2011 Essentials originally shipped, the Office 365 integration module was a separate download. With the introduction of UR2, or the update rollup 2, that was actually integrated into that update. So now you'll see on the dashboard, on the homepage of the dashboard, that the module is set up, and there's a link to run the configuration wizard. Now, if you're not using Office 365, that's fine. You never need to run the wizard. It's not required that you have Office 365 in your environment when you use SPS Essentials, but it is something that you can choose to take advantage of. And I think that's probably a fair point to make, because in a lot of our marketing materials, it sounds like it can sound like SPS Essentials is incomplete without Office 365, and that's not the case. Office 365 provides the messaging and collaboration functionality, but it's one way to get that. Hosted Exchange is another way to get that. Running Exchange on-premise is another way to get that. So depending on how you want to do your messaging and your collaboration or whatever workloads that you want to do, Essentials gives you the flexibility to make those choices. But let's go ahead with the premise that we're interested in Office 365, and that's what we want to use. So now we have a link right on the dashboard to go ahead and set that up, set the integration module up. So like all the wizards, it starts with a nice little getting started page, gives you some context of what's going on and what the wizard's going to do. On the next link, you have the ability to tell Office 360 or tell Essentials where you are kind of in your workflow of getting up to speed or using Office 365. So if you don't already have it, then from here you can just click on the links to subscribe to either the E-plan or the P-plan. So both are supported in the same kind of way. Most small businesses tend to use the P-plan, but you could use the E-plan, so it costs more is basically what it comes down to. Some scale and there's some differences. So the differences have to do, again, with how support is provided, how many mailboxes that you can have. But I would say, to get a complete sense of all the differences, definitely go to the Office 365 website, because they change those things. So I don't have it here in this deck. But it also will give you a good overview of the current offerings in terms of the individual services that it provides. So, in addition to subscribing, you can just sign up for a trial. And so this is actually great, you know, just back in the office or whatever, wanting to see what this looks like. Without spending any money, without providing any kind of credit card information or anything, you can go ahead and install the integration module and set up a trial subscription and kind of walk through the whole deal. Once you have your subscription set up, then you will have a user ID and a password to manage the Office 365 environment. So you provide that information to the wizard, the integration module wizard, and then from here it can use that to create the secure connection it needs to do the management of Office 365. The last thing is setting the password security policy. So Office 365, because it is this web-based thing, they require a secure password, a strong password. So we want to make sure that on the Essentials box that we set the strong password policy so that users don't have trouble pushing and synchronizing that password from the local environment up to the cloud. Because Office 365 is going to require a strong password, so we want to make sure Essentials has the same rules, basically, that get applied to the password policy. So once you've done that, basically subscribe or set up a trial if you need to, provide the credentials so that it can talk to the service, and acknowledge that we turn on the strong password policy, that's it. That's the end of the wizard. So it's very quick and easy. There's not a lot that it takes to get this up and going. And then the dashboard will restart, and you'll get a new tab after the first standard set of tabs across the top in the dashboard. You'll actually see this Office 365 tab now. And that's where you'll see the at-a-glance view of the subscription that you just created, and also have links to jump off and manage deeper on the Office 365 side. So as we jump over to the Users tab, then here we can see we have a number of different options that that were added that got extended into this interface. So we have a new column for what's our Office 365 account. We have a new task, a couple of new tasks, one of which is to add Office 365 accounts. So as you get started, and let's this takes it from the premise that I started out by having Essentials in my environment, set up all my users, and now I'm deciding I want to use Office 365 for messaging. So I want to kind of catch up and bulk add in all of my users and give them accounts, give them mailboxes in the Office 365 environment. So when I start this wizard, I'll get a list of all the users in my environment, and then I can pick and choose which ones of them should have mailboxes. And it doesn't have to be everybody, but you can easily select more than one person at a time. So this is just a quick way to associate existing users and spin up mailboxes for them in the cloud. So you just select the users that you want, click Next, and the integration module will go ahead and populate the mailboxes in the cloud. And that's as easy as it is, really straightforward. The other thing that you can do, it's the same kind of process, but you can do it on a one-on-one basis after the fact. So maybe you have an intern who starts in the small business. You decide that they don't need to have an Office 365 subscription. They're only going to be around for a few weeks or whatever it's going to be. But then they become a full-time employee, and so they do. Or you change your mind or whatever, and you do want to give them a mailbox. So you can quickly just one-on-one assign, just highlight the user that you're interested in. In this case, I'm just highlighting the admin user. And say that you want to assign them a mailbox. This similar kind of page will come up, wizard page will come up, and you can either create a new account if there is no mailbox in Office 365 for this person, or if on the 365 side, on the Office 365 side, you had created the mailbox beforehand, before creating the user, you can pick unassociated mailboxes, unassociated 365 mailboxes with this local user. So in this particular case, you can see I had an admin account, and you get one kind of by default when you're setting it up, an admin account for my subscription, and I just want to associate that with my local admin account in the Essentials environment. So it's basically the same operation. One is bulk, and one is kind of one-on-one. Type thing. Another scenario is just you're adding a brand new person into your environment. So just the add user wizard. So for the most part, it's the same. Wizard starts out the same. You fill out just some basic information about the user. Again, this in the SBS environment, this is all about making it simpler to do. So this is a little bit more streamlined than the adding a user in like the SBS or in the Windows Server standard type of environment. So we just fill out some basic information, username, it'll fill out a default account name, which of course you can tailor, username, password, and set a level of access, so typically standard or administrator to keep things simple. You set which of the shared folders that this person should have access to and what level, whether that's read-only or no access or read-write. And then you come to a new page in the wizard that the integration module added into the environment, and that is, do I want to assign an Office 365 account? So this looks astonishingly familiar to the one that we just looked at for associating user accounts, because you can do the same kind of thing. You can either create a brand new account, so which is a typical case, right? You create a brand new account in your local environment and you want to give that person a brand new mailbox. Or you could assign, again, if they had an Office 365 account already. And this may be the case if you are kind of going the other way. I mentioned that you could start with Essentials or you could start with Office 365. Let's say you started out with Office 365 and you have a bunch of mailboxes in the cloud and you're introducing essentials as a local server, then you would do more of this assignment type thing where you're creating Karen's local account and you just want to assign Karen to her existing Office 365 mailbox. And you also have the choice of not assigning a mailbox at all as you create a new user. Again, in that kind of scenario where maybe you have an intern and they don't need a mailbox, you can skip that altogether. And then the add user wizard finishes. This is the same screen allowing you to set up your remote access settings, and then the add user wizard is finished. So very, very kind of straightforward in terms of managing that identity, whether it's for access to local resources or access to cloud-based resources using the dashboard. And there's a few different scenarios because you can kind of come at this from a couple of different directions, but the flexibility to kind of hit all those different kind of paths. So the last part here, going back to the Office 365 tab and your kind of at-a-glance view, and some of these additional management tasks that you have, configuration tasks that you have, we'll look at how to link a domain, that internet domain, to Office 365. And there's a couple of different ways that this could be done, too. So as the wizard starts out, again, we get this getting started and a link to some help. And then it will kind of query the environment to find out where you're at. So if you've already turned on your remote web access and you already have your domain configured, then there's very little that the wizard is going to need to do to complete the process. There's also a couple of different ways that you could have configured your internet domain. So you can configure your domain manually. You can also use one of the SBS registrar partners to automatically keep your DNS configured. So if you do use one of the registrar partners, then in a similar way that the credentials that you provide for Office 365 let you manage between the Essentials environment and the cloud environment, if you use one of the SBS registrar partners, then you provide Essentials with the credentials for your internet domain registration, and it can update your DNS records automatically. This is really nice, especially in environments where, say, the small business is using kind of a consumer-grade type of connection, and they're getting a dynamic IP address. So you may have run into the situation where you have you're trying to access the server from a remote location, trying to come into remote.companyname.com or whatever, and it doesn't resolve correctly because the service provider, the internet service provider, has changed their underlying IP address. So if you configure the domain manually, the DNS records manually, then you have to determine what the new IP address is, go ahead and update the DNS records, and then wait for that to replicate, and then everything is okay again. If you use one of the SBS registrar partners, then it will constantly, like every 5-15 minutes, something like this, it will constantly communicate with the DNS server saying, this is my IP address, this is my IP address. And if your IP address changes, then the DNS server, or the service kind of running on the registrar side, will detect that it's changed, it will update the DNS record, and it will have a chance to replicate before the user can become impacted and can't access your site. So that's kind of a little bit of backstory around using or why using the automatic DNS. But if you do choose to go down that path and you've configured SBS to use that, then in terms of getting Office 365 to work, it also can be done in an automated way. Because now we can communicate with the registrar, we can communicate with Office 365, and Office 365 can tell us, it knows what the new DNS records need to be for mail, and it takes over the job of managing those DNS records. So it's very seamless. A couple of clicks on the through the wizard to get them hooked up, and you're done. So very, very slick But I did want to walk through the scenario of, well, what if I just do want to do this manually? And in many cases, you may have, maybe the small business has a pre-existing domain and you just want to pick it up and use it. You don't want to kind of start over from scratch or whatever. So we can do that. As the wizard starts and it looks, it sees that we need to set up the domain, then it will start the internet setup wizard inside of the Office 365 domain wizard. So we kind of have a little bit of a nested wizards going on here, but it will run through this to get your domain set up in the first place. And there's a couple of paths you can choose. You can use a domain that you already have. You can use a new name. So we're going to go down the path where we already have an existing domain. So you just type that in. And then from here, you can choose again whether you want to work with a registrar partner to have that domain managed automatically and all the DNS records managed automatically, or whether you want to manually configure the DNS and take care of the DNS records. So again, both scenarios are supported. If you want to go the manual route, then it will just give you some information on what needs to be done and give you a link for jumping off to the manual registration. And then as far as the wizard is concerned, all it needs to know, there's a little checkbox at the bottom. Once you have manually configured your domain and you're happy with that, then you just check the box and then you can continue on with the wizard. You'll also need to have an SSL certificate in order to have secure conversations back to the essential server, so like for remote web access, being able to access your shared folders and things like that. So that is also part of the domain setup wizard. So in this case, again, we can choose to use a certificate we already own, as well as choose to purchase a new one. In this case, we'll say I already have one, and give it the location and the password for that. And now we have finished setting up the domain name on the essentials side. Now that that's done, we can go back to the Office 365 wizard that was asking about setting up your Office 365 integrations, your mail records, to support the Office 365. So again, here, because I'm doing it manually, it's just going to give us information about what DNS records need to be manually added. So if you click on this to the link, a text box will open, and we get all this garbly gook, which is why it's so much fun to use the automated registrar partner, because then you don't need to mess with any of this. But if you are comfortable with managing your DNS records, then there's no guessing, at least, because the wizard will tell you exactly what the records are that are needed and what information each record needs to contain, so that you can update that. And then, again, little checkbox to say, yes, I went ahead and I configured the appropriate DNS records based on the information that the wizard provided, and then you're ready to go. So one is a kind of a long path, one is a very short path, but in the end, the result is that the appropriate DNS records have been set up, so now that mail will flow to Office 365, that your remote web access will flow to your local server, that your website will go to the Office 365 website. So everything is in sync and you have that consistent identity for your company. On the client side, so the last piece I wanted to look at is on the client side, what is the experience like? So when you first install the integration module, then the launchpad doesn't have a link similar to the dashboard needing to be restarted. The launchpad on the client side will just need to be started once, so that then it can be extended as well to have that Office 365 link. So, and again, this is an example of an add-on. Other third-party companies can also extend the environment, add links to the launchpad, add links to the dashboard, add links to remote web access in a very similar way. But so now that the end users will see the Office 365 link, and if they click on that in their launchpad, then they have a few additional links for how to interact with the with their Office 365 account. So if we just go ahead and look at the web app, the Outlook web app, so this is similar to, you know, if you have Exchange on-premise, it's the same experience of using the web browser to access your email online. There's also across the top, because it's Office 365, there's a couple of other places you can go. Your team site is that SharePoint online. There's also kind of a home page that will show you, for this person, the different places that you can go. And so like Link, as an example, we talked about being able to have instant messaging and presence information and being able to make online telephone calls, video calling, online meetings, that sort of thing. So this is a little link to a link to install Link. So I like that. Back in the dashboard, you'll actually see that you can go directly to that home location, the link in the middle. But there's also this quick start link at the bottom, which is a great place for users to kind of get up to speed with what is offered by Office 365, what did they just subscribe to, and what the functionality is, and how to start using that. So that's a quick overview demo of the Office 365 integration module. One thing that I just wanted to point out too is, so I kind of showed using the website, and when you log into the website again, you use your same credentials. So if I'm david@contoso.com on the server, then I'm david@contoso.com in Office 365. My password is green locally, my password is green in Office 365, and they kind of stay in sync. Another aspect, and I don't necessarily have a great picture of it or whatever, but depending on how familiar users are with kind of logging in a Windows environment, we may all be familiar with the idea of domain / username and then your password, so Contoso, WAC, username, password. But having installed the Office 365 integration module, you can actually use more of an email address style. So it could be david@contoso.com as my username in the Windows environment, and then my password. And then when they log into Office 365, they would also use, you know, david@contoso.com. So just use your email address as that consistent identity. And so from an end user perspective, that may be more obvious to them that it's all the same. So they have the same user identity, they have the same password in both places, again, making it very consistent.
Similar like in Windows 8?
Yes, very similar to like Windows 8, yep.
Will Windows 8 connect to SB as well?
So will Windows 8 be a supported client in an SBS environment? And yes, that's something that we'll see probably in the next update roll-up. That's coming, yep. Okay, so let me switch back to my slides. I think I probably just have one more. I don't really have one more. I just have a nice quote from one of our TAP customers. And we do have about 10 minutes or so left just to do Q&A, so I wanted to leave some time at the end. But basically, that's a quick overview of Essentials, of the Office 365 integration module, what it does and how it works. So definitely appreciate you coming to the session. And I hope that was useful. Thanks.